Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, part two of my interview with Brian Sandoval. He's president of the University of Nevada, Reno. Here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
All hail the $200,000 Cash is King giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Weekly prize drawings, including thousands in cash and free play. And two big grand prize giveaway events, each with a $15,000 cash winner guaranteed. Only at the Carson Valley Inn.
Meet Nevada HealthLink, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance. Where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada HealthLink. Our plans are made for your plans.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing, because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're continuing with President of University of Nevada, Reno, Brian Sandoval, a former governor. He's graciously agreed to do a second program with us. We're talking about the arena at Grand Sierra Resort. Tell me about the name, image, and likeness portion of all this, because things have changed for the athletes.
No, they have changed for the athletes. Some people like it, some people don't, but the reality is that now the athletes can earn money based on their name, image, or likeness. And one of the things that isn't known is not only has Alex Morello invested those tens of millions of dollars and purchased property in the teeth of the recession, but he has also been participating in the NIL with our athletes to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars, both on our men's and women's basketball team. So he certainly has invested and has shown support for the university. We're grateful for that.
What about the women's basketball team? They're going to continue to play at Lawler?
They are. And, you know, and frankly, in conversations with Amanda Levins, the coach of the basketball team, she prefers to play in Lawler. And the stark reality of it is they average 600-700 fans per game, and it just isn't economic for them to play, because we're going to have to pay to play in that arena. And, you know, to put on a game there.
Okay, so you don't pay anything for the building of the arena.
Correct.
But how does that work out? So you have to pay to be there.
Right.
What's the compensation going the other direction? Is there a cut of something that comes back to
you? We'll still earn the ticket revenue. You know, and, you know, if you talk to Stephanie Remp, our athletic director, they've done an economic analysis. And given the quality of that arena and the increase in the number of premium seats, there's an opportunity to earn $4 to $5 million more of revenue for the athletic department versus what we have today, where we essentially have plateaued. And so, you know, for our women, there still will be an opportunity to, I think they call them match team tournaments or something like that, but perhaps they could, you know, play in the new arena if they want to, for those types of games. But for the regular season games, they average, as I mentioned, 700, 800 people, and it would just be too much of a revenue drain.
Okay, what about naming rights for the new arena? Have you discussed that with Alex?
I have not, and that's up to them. I'm sure he'd love to be able to find the Sam Shad Arena, that.
You're not the first person. Who brought that up? Somebody else brought that up recently. Yeah, no,
but
that's not going to
happen. No, and again, that's a business decision for him, and it's a great opportunity for somebody.
Okay, so how can UNR offset the shift of men's basketball? Would you be interested in partnering with the city or SCBA to convert underutilized Arena Event Center back of the house space into a Wolfpack practice floor, open to youth clinics, maybe 100 days a year, or something like that?
I'm not sure what you're asking there.
For UNR to offset the shift of men's basketball out of Lawler into GSR, do you feel that there's, okay, let me phrase it a different way. Is there any responsibility you feel as the university to compensate downtown, the Reno Event Center or anything else, for the fact that this is going to move out of downtown?
I suppose that presumes that there's a loss to downtown as a result of the construction of that arena. But, we already have clinics there. The women's basketball team does clinics there. The men's basketball team does clinics there. Our basketball teams practice there. I mean, Reno is Nevada's college town, and we like nothing better than being involved in the community, both athletically and academically, and we will continue to do that. And as I mentioned, we've made a massive investment in our new business building.
It is huge.
It is, and it will be one of the finest business buildings in the United States of America. As mentioned, $150, $160 million investment. And there were a lot of different places we could have chose to build that. But we chose there because I've always felt that the future of the university is moving south towards downtown. And I like to call it University, C-I-T-Y, because the history of Reno and the history of the university are inextricably intertwined. And so we have made a massive investment, and to the tune of what will be over $200 million in downtown Reno.
Let me ask you this. When the boiler blew up at the university and you housed people in Circus in one of the towers, it struck me that that was a win-win for both the university and for the row. Why did that not continue beyond the repairs?
Well, I wasn't here when that happened, but I will say this. Once Argenta Hall was rebuilt, we had occupancy for all those students, and those students prefer to live in campus housing on campus with their own food, court or food availability on the ground floor. So all those displaced students who were at the Circus came back to Argenta.
Okay, let's take another break. We'll come right back with the president of UNR after this.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes.
at Nevada Heating. Call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Sandoval. He's the president of the University of Nevada, Reno. We're talking about the arena planned for the Grand Sierra Resort. You know, we've kind of discussed this a little bit, but go through it again. There really is no risk to the taxpayers with this project, correct?
Correct. I mean, again, you know, and if Alex Morello were here, he calls it mom, my own money. He's paying for 100% of the costs of this project.
Upfront.
He does not collect $1 until this is all finished. And then theoretically, it will generate more property tax. He gets a small increment of that property tax that he created.
It appears that the only opposition to this project, as we talked about, is coming from the other local casinos. Have you had conversations with them to get their response of?
No, I mean, I've talked to individuals that represent them. And, you know, my comment is this is, you know, certainly I've listened to the bases for their opposition. And I don't believe there's a full understanding of the history of RDA 2, where the Reno Hilton, that property, and I know I said it earlier, so sorry for being redundant.
No, it's fine.
But that Reno Hilton property was specifically amended into RDA 2 for the very purpose of what is happening now, is to encourage redevelopment on that property that will increase property or taxes and create an economic impact and jobs that will benefit the entire community.
All right, let's take one more break and then we'll come back, and I've got a few other topics, if you don't mind, that I'd like to jump into, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
Your good times are at Tamarack Casino during the $150,000 Denim and Diamonds giveaways, with cash and free play drawings every Thursday and Saturday, and $30,000 in grand finale giveaways Saturday, May 31st, including a top prize of $20,000 guaranteed. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Sandoval. He's president of the University of Nevada, Reno. Movie studios. We're in the middle of a legislative session. And we had State Senator Roberta Lang on the program. She's the Assistant Majority Leader. She was talking about, because there's two proposals, one for Summerlin and one for the Harry Reid Park. And she said that Nicole Cannizzaro, the Majority Leader, has told her unless those two projects are folded into one, it's dead. It's not going to happen. She also mentioned, Roberta Lang did, that UNR is still part of that mix. What can you tell us about any potential for this.
Yeah, no, and have a lot of respect for Senator Lange, and I'm thankful that she's sponsoring this bill. It's another good opportunity for the state to diversify and bring the film industry to Southern Nevada. You know, we see it through the lens of opportunity for our School of Journalism, and perhaps, you know, in early stages of a film school. So we have been, we have met with representatives from Sony Pictures and Howard Hughes Corporations that is associated with Summerlin. And in fact, the dean of our journalism school was invited to go to Southern California and did to tour those and see what type of opportunities there would be for our students, for internships, for, you know, future careers. And in fact, he's going to Japan to meet with some of the really top people at Sony to meet with them to see what opportunities are. So we're grateful for the conversation and the discussion with Sony Pictures in Summerlin. You know, we were not consulted or talked to with regard to that other bill, but.
And it's funny because she said specifically that you would be included in. Oh, no. I'm sorry. She said Truckee Meadows Community College would
right.
be included in.
Yeah, we were not. And there's no ill will, or I'm sure they have their motives. And, you know, again, I want what's best for Nevada. But at the end of the day, certainly would like to see some benefits for our students. And as I remind people, almost a third of our student body comes from Clark County. So it would be beneficial for either bill to work with us, because we have a lot of students from Clark County who attend our journalism school, who would graduate and then move back to Clark County and be really wonderful individuals to work there.
Do you think that this is turning into more of an education bill than a movie bill, even though obviously the movie portion is a huge portion, but they've added all these educational pieces to it, and it's sounding more and more like this is a great job development program for Nevada beyond the movie studios? Because McKenna Ross did a great piece for the Review Journal where she went to Georgia, which everybody knows has been heavily subsidizing the movie industry, and found that there really wasn't a lot of profit being made by the state. New York has kind of been the same boat. It's like the ancillary money that comes from the money being spent rather than the state making actual money.
Yeah. And I'm not that deep into it. You know, I haven't looked at the economic analysis. You know, what I understand broadly is that they'll be able to show that there is, you know, a plus up for
just
for
not huge.
Yeah, not huge. And that's a judgment that the legislature and the governor have to make. But if a bill passes, as president of the University of Nevada, I would like to see our students and our faculty and our staff have a benefit from it.
As you look at what's going on in the national scene and the president and the administration's moves against some of the universities, what are your thoughts and how potentially is that affecting UNR?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we've already lost approximately $35 million in research, and this is important research. This is water research, healthcare, science. I can go down the line. And so certainly that causes me great concern. I joined with what is now 600 or 700 university presidents, because it isn't just the research. You know, there's also discussion with regard to what happens on a college campus. And, you know, and I believe that it's really important not to interfere with academic freedom. It's really important not to interfere with a student's right to be exposed to a lot of different ideas. You know, these are very intelligent students, you know, who I think need to be, as I said, exposed to a lot of different things. And it just concerns me to have, for example, our accreditors told how they are going to approve curriculums on a college campus. I just, you know, there's some really important rails there that I don't think we should cross.
All right, talking about crossing rails, you're a former federal judge, former attorney general. There was a major piece on 60 Minutes last night about the administration going after law firms and law firms either losing clients or not being able to go after clients because they are in fear that the administration will go after them. But there are already, just on the threats that are coming from the administration, clients are leaving those law firms. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because on Saturday, we had a conversation with the Dean of the Berkeley Law School, Erwin Chemerinsky, who's one of the greatest living constitutional scholars and advocates in front of the court. We are opening a constitutional law center on our campus. The purpose for that is to provide instruction to middle school and high school teachers in civics. We're going to partner with the UNLV Law School. We're going to be publishing research associated with what the legal, you know, what legal issues of the day. We're very excited about this. And, you know, this is an important time in the history of our country. And the courts are going to play probably the most important role that they've played in perhaps a century or two with regard to executive power and the limits on executive power and the boundaries of what those will be. So there are a lot of questions that I think are going to make their way through the federal courts, through the appellate courts, and ultimately up to the Supreme Court that will create precedents that will guide not only this administration, or future administrations for decades to come.
Does it concern you, as 60 Minutes suggested, that the entire legal system is in jeopardy?
You know, I don't think I would go that far. Yeah, I think that's a bit of hyperbole, and I don't think the entire legal system is in jeopardy, but the role of a judge is as important now than it has ever been. And I think that's part of the wisdom of the founders and Article III judges who are appointed for life, who have the ability to make the decision based on the law and not outside interference.
But if a president chooses not to abide by their rulings, what happens then?
Yeah. And we haven't gotten there yet, but you know, there aren't very many remedies for that. Certainly the courts could hold him in contempt, or the attorneys that are appearing before him in contempt, and if it goes too far, the Congress reserves the right to do impeachment proceedings. I'm not suggesting they should, but those are the remedies that are within the Constitution.
You know, it's interesting, you know, as a former governor, a two-term governor, you know very well the limits of even being a governor, that you have a certain amount of time to get major things put through, and then elections start to come up, and that affects the legislators unless you have a supermajority, which has not occurred. And so do you see in the very near future, because we're already in the election cycle, even here in the state of Nevada, the Governor Lombardo's PAC is already running ads, that Congress will take a bigger role in what's going on? Because it seems at this point they've allowed the president to lead and do and say whatever he wishes to say without pushing back. But they, you know, a third of the House has to be, the entire House has to be reelected, and a third of the Senate has to be reelected. Do you see Congress coming back into play more in the next coming weeks and months?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's pure speculation, but, you know, it's just...
But you know politics.
I do, but I'm not a politician anymore.
Okay.
But any event.
Can I write that down?
Okay. But in any event, you know, these issues have to make their way through the courts, and there have been multiple challenges. You mentioned the law firms. Many law firms aren't. Many law firms are, and they are taking these cases. And for the most part, the courts have granted the temporary restraining orders and the preliminary injunctions. That will go to the appellate court. They will make their decision, and ultimately, if the Supreme Court grants cert, they will consider these cases as well. So I would anticipate that this next fall, there's going to be a pretty full agenda for the Supreme Court to consider these. And you will see these cases in the casebooks in the law schools for years to come.
You recently joined the board of Resorts World along with our good friend A.G. Burnett.
Yes.
And you're a former, you know, as I say, you've had a lot of jobs over the years, but you were the head of the Gaming Commission here in the state. He was the head of the Gaming Control Board. What has been going now, and you are there, as Phil Satre was for Wynn Resorts, to take control and make things run smoothly and legally again. Because there were, you know, allegations of money laundering, which Resorts World settled. what is going on in the gaming industry? Because we're seeing this in many of the major gaming companies.
No, and I still subscribe to the fact that our regulators, our regulation system of regulation, a gaming control board, a gaming commission, you know, and ensuring that every individual gets involved in the gaming industry is suitable, strictly enforcing all the rules and laws and regulations associated with the gaming industry. And it just, you know, some of the same individuals were involved in both the Resorts World and the MGM situation. And so this was a moment in time, and I think both Resorts World and the MGM have done the right thing.
And paid a lot of money.
Absolutely, as they should. I have no qualms with what was done with that. They learn from that, they get better, and become even stricter and more compliant.
It seems like New Jersey, because they just got utilized for UAE to oversee their gaming commission, that they have kind of moved ahead of Nevada in terms of being the gold standard.
Maybe I don't know if I'd agree with that, Sam.
I didn't think you would.
Yeah.
I just want to throw it out there.
No, and
look at the MGM and the Pansy Ho situation. Nevada continued to license MGM, and New Jersey said no.
Yeah. Well, and the New Jersey is a fraction of what Nevada is, and they chose to have one entity that does the investigations and does the policy enforcement. We still have our two-tier system, which I think is fabulous, but I would vehemently disagree that it is a superior one. They're both excellent, and what works for New Jersey is great, but I think this is what works for Nevada.
I think I should stop playing devil's advocate. I thank you so much for all this time, and please come back sooner than later.
All right, thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room of the Nevada Builders Alliance. Coverage of the 2025 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, Workers' Comp, that works for you. NV Energy, proudly serving Nevada, providing electricity to 2.4 million electric customers. The Retail Association of Nevada, looking out for business. And by Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers come to you from Carson City, from the headquarters of the Nevada Builders Alliance. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching.